maybe we should talk about also this idea of identity, which I think is very, very, very interesting. And when we say identity itself, I think there are so many like cultural, historical, social, technical connotations to that word, because I mean, identity is also this, I think I can understand as the extension of the idea of the body and, you know, trying to understand it from the point of view from culture and, you know, religion and identity. I think for me, it means a lot of things, but one thing that it means for sure is about carrying my culture and being part of something that has a long history of, you know, being and having and carrying certain stereotypes. And I think that is sort of like seeping into the identity of a person and, you know, this American idea of individualizing a person, that every person has a unique identity. This uniqueness is, I don't think, any unique anymore. And that's how we try to, like, you know, get clothes which are different and unique. We try to, like, buy branded clothes which are definitely not going to be unique, but we still invest in those things to create this individualized identity of the self. And I think there are so many, like, different markers and so many different understandings of the word identity itself. Because for me, I think my cultural identity and my, like, positionality is very different from yours, for example. And it's I think there's a lot to talk about, and I really don't know where to go with this. So, Robin, do you want me to help me out with finding a direction?
Yeah, when I brought it up as a possibility, I wasn't sure exactly either. But but I'm curious to think, and you know, as I said, when I first listened to these two fairy tale doctors, I call them the fairy tale doctors, speak about this idea of body lore, I really started to look at the items in my closet, for instance, with a, I don't want to say it was a with a more critical eye per se, but it was, you know, sort of like that Maria Kondo, you know, do I love this? Does it bring me joy? Kind of energy, right? Mm-hmm. Do I wear these things because they're utilitarian and that they speak a language to me about who I am and what I do and the purpose of my life that is very prescriptive almost? Or do I wear them because they're, you know, they make me feel frivolous and joyful and like a 5-year-old. Mm-hmm. And likewise with, you know, jewelry that I have stocked away and in a jewelry box. And I don't know if you can see, listeners at home can't see today, but I have this beautiful amber pendant that I pulled out from the depths of my belongings just on Sunday, and you know, dug under the sink for the silver polish and polished the neck ring and polished the pendant up, and I've been wearing it for the last couple of days, and it's funny because it feels really over the top to me to wear it. It feels way fancier than things that I normally wear. Mm-hmm. I'm the person who puts earrings in my ears, and then, you know, for the next 10 years, they're the same earrings. They don't change. You know, so I'm not very fancy in that way. But to put this necklace on every day makes me feel differently, right? It tells me a different story about myself in such a simple and simplistic but very complicated and profoundly deep way.
Mm-hmm. That is so true. And I think I'm the kind of like sort of like the opposite person. I think I pay a lot of attention to like what I'm wearing, because I don't know if that's just because I'm in that age group, or I don't know if that's partially the reason. But I do think I actively and consciously make those choices. And sometimes I feel like, you know what, I'm just going to wear, or I'm just going to do whatever. I just really don't care. And I think that comes back to the question of the internal gaze and the external gaze, because you're trying to think about, you know, if I am wearing a certain pendant, what are the cultural meanings for it? For example, in my culture, you wear a turban, which is like you know, a religious symbol, but also a cultural and social symbol. And what meanings it carries, and the sort of the pride that it carries with it, and the notations, the cultural and significances, and, you know, the sense of pride and belongingness to that culture comes in with that piece of clothing, per se. And I think there are like different markers of identity, for example, being turban, and being there's a bangle in the Sikh culture which is called a kara, which is essentially has like a very rich history, but essentially it's like a bangle which is supposedly on your hand because it prevents you from doing evil deeds or whatever. That is the idea behind that. And I do think I have a few friends, and especially in the indigenous culture here in Canada, it's so rich, like the markers of it and how they carry themselves. And even for a person like me, it's so different, and it's so I mean, it's formed in a way that you understand yourself, but also in a way that you want to present yourself into the world and in connection and in relation with others around you, so that, you know, you want to be carrying yourself, you're trying to be unique in the crowd of the people, but you don't try to be very unique so that you look the odd man out. So you have to, you know, make those sort of decisions, and you do, especially when you are like, you know, a teenager, or, you know, just a young adult. That's the kind of choices that you make like literally every day, and that's the kind of sense where social media comes in, where you're actively, you know, posing and posting stuff online, which is so filtered. Your identity is those spaces, like for example Instagram or Facebook, gives you an opportunity to create sort of your own identity, your personified self on that platform. So you might not be a gym rat, you know, you might not be going to gym, and you might not be into it, but your whole Instagram feed might be on that thing, because you're trying to show one side of yourself, and that's the creation of the identity that you do online. And that's how you make those connections online. But in person, you might just be like me, eating potatoes on a couch. So, I mean, yeah, it's really, really interesting thinking about ideas. Like, even I think I talk a lot about digital age, but I think I can see the relations even in the olden times, when you were like called into the court of the king. You were supposed to, you know, dress a certain way. You were supposed to carry certain things if you were going to see the king or the queen. You could not be...
you couldn't wear your own hair.
Exactly, yeah. So that's how it is. And I think a lot of like hierarchies have been created around how you present yourself. There is sort of like stratization. I don't know if that's a word, but, you know, this creation of different categories of people who identify themselves as something, and, you know, that's how they carry themselves. And obviously the stereotypes that are unfortunately attached to some people because they choose to carry themselves a certain way. And that's really unfortunate, but that's what happens when you try to express yourself, your body, in a certain way, and people are like, oh, so you dress like this, so you must belong to those stereotypes, so you are also one of them. So all of this baggage is sort of like also transferred along. Yeah. And I think that is really amplified on stuff like digital media, per se.
Yeah, I mean, digital media amplifies so... It's such an easy way to amplify things because, you know, little posts can go viral, and you know, all of a sudden, a mountain is a molehill is a mountain. But I think that what you're saying, digital or otherwise, is very, it's a very potent sort of mechanism of the realities of how the body and identity get conflated almost, mm-hmm. right? Because yes, we're our bodies, but no, we're not our bodies. And I think that we see this in the move through the binary pronouns, for instance, you know, and this stretching of our imaginations about what it means to not be he or she, but be a they. And what does that look like on the body? You know, what does that allow my body to do and become in the world, and show up with new ideas and new sort of parameters mm-hmm. around it? Because there's always rules of engagement, right? It's not like it comes without its own rules of engagement, but they're different now. And so, that's really interesting to me. And you know, as you were saying, how in terms of your own cultural identities, right? When you're inside or outside of that culture, right? Those demonstrations are different. Sometimes they can be more pronounced or less pronounced, depending on, you know, where you are. You know, if we're all at a family gathering and we're all celebrating under a very common tradition, then, you know, dancing around the Christmas tree is completely, everybody's on board with that, you know. But if we're showing up in traditional dress, you know, in a public place to do something and an act in our bodies where it's not so commonplace, then yeah, there's a different performative, and back to this idea of the mm-hmm. gaze, right? And this othering that can happen through the body lore and through identity.
I really like the word that you use, performative. And that just like brought back the memories that I had about there's like a culture holiday and like a celebration for the Punjabi or the Sikh culture. And, you know, we have like a certain attire or cultural clothing that we wear on that day. And, you know, I was wearing that and I was like, you know, I'm just gonna go to the temple and, you know, just do my prayers and whatever and come back. And, you know, on the way I saw like a Walmart and I was like, I'm just going to pick up some groceries as I'm wearing that cultural dress. You know, it's just me. It's the same me. It doesn't really matter. And when I entered that Walmart and I was like, everybody was like looking at me and it's like, what is this? What is she wearing? Why is she wearing that? And I had all those like eyes looking at me, and maybe they were just not looking at me, but I was so conscious in myself that I was thinking that they're looking at me. And, you know, I was not able to express myself. And, you know, and I don't think that this is like a singular experience. This is experience of many people who, you know, try to live this like dual life of, you know, are you enough westernized? Is your like attire enough, you know, looking enough professional? You know, if you are wearing something that is understood as a normal on those in those spaces. Even I think a lot of like research has been done in like professional like fashion. What does it mean? And you know, you're not supposed to like, especially like in East Asian cultures, you're not supposed to like wear your hair open when you are like in your office space, and you're supposed to like tie it up. And this whole idea of like having uniforms in schools, which is like a very prevalent idea in like South Asia, which is like everybody should look the same. But you know, I don't know, it's just how you express yourself through your clothing and how you carry yourself, I think, is very central to this idea of body lore. But definitely, yes, identity is intrinsically tied to it, because what you present yourself as to the other world, to the outer world, is your identity, is your individual self that you're putting out there. So I think thinking about those from an internal point of view makes sense, but thinking about how others are viewing yourself, I think that is like a daunting task to think about. You know, there are people looking at me. What am I wearing? Am I good enough? Am I fitting those boxes of how I'm supposed to look like? And that boxes, I mean, carries a lot of explanations and a lot of stereotype baggages. And it is just not limited to the body, but also about your skin color, about your hair, about just you being you. I mean, I could talk about it forever, but yes, that also manifests into how you portray yourself online, or how movies portray a certain culture or a certain subculture or a certain gender, and how like popular culture for the longest time, these movies did not have like actors who represented people like me and people like my friends. So you know, it has been a long time coming about explaining the body and portraying it on the screen. I think that's the point of connection that I'm trying to make here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of the things that what you're saying is bringing to mind is this idea of regardless of the clothes I'm wearing, you know, right now you're wearing a sporty little jumper, mm-hmm. and you know, just a t-shirt, versus if you were wearing your ceremonial go to the temple outfit or you know regalia, and you're still the same Pranjali, regardless of you know what you're housed in, what you're clothed in. And I'm curious, because again, I'm thinking about those things that I put on that I feel comfortable in and that I clearly do not feel comfortable in. And where is the line of that sort of body lore? Where's the line where that story in my own mind or in my cultural experienced mind says that I belong in that thing and I don't belong in another thing, or that I can be comfortable in a place and time in this, but not in a different place and time in this. And there's this real sort of discombobulation, I think, in our own realities, right? Where we think that certain things are possible, you know, certain ways of the body, certain decorations for the body, certain ways we dress the body up are appropriate or not appropriate. How do you, like, do you have a measure? How do you measure that?
There isn't really any, like, real measure to it. It's just, like, how you understand those places and how your interaction is with those places as being someone who is very religious, or if you like think about those spaces as being, you know, more so just being there because your family was a part of that religion, and thinking about, you know, different aspects of it, like just being in a class or whatever, and you're just sitting in a big lecture hall and you're like, oh, what am I going to wear to the lecture? And I'm like, oh, maybe just, you know, simple t-shirt. But when I'm in a conference or like in a meeting or something, I have to dress a certain professional way because I want to be, you know, not the odd man out. I want to be the individual. I want to be unique enough, but not that unique that I don't belong to it. And I feel like this idea of being an outsider to those spaces, because I think I was reading something a while ago, which really this idea hit me hard, was why do we think about outsiders as being, you know, this sort of a threat, and sort of there's always like this idea that, oh, she looks like an outsider, or he looks, or they look like an outsider, so maybe I'm not sure how to interact with them, and, you know, like I don't know what they're going to carry. And it really comes down to the lack of the knowledge that we have about those cultures, about those peoples. Even with the portrayal of like things like aliens in the movies, why do we always like portray them as being having big teeth and being so villainous, and, you know, just like portraying them as like, you know, this dirty looking hairless thing? And I'm like, aliens could be pretty. Maybe they're more pretty than humans. I don't know. We don't know. But we always portray as something that we don't know, the other as, you know, a question mark, and maybe they are like less than us, because I've seen a lot of like movies and these aliens have supernatural powers and whatever, but they lack certain human powers, like maybe the ability to speak the same language or ability to even speak, but we portray them in such a negative way that they are like, you know, they are intruders, or they are the others. So I think whenever we do that, it is because we are inherently threatened by them, because there's sort of uncertainty about, or there's a lack of knowledge about that species or that gender, or we are like, oh, I don't know how to interact with them. So there is always like this sort of inhibition in you about thinking of the person or the thing as something outside your own belonging circle. So that is the reason a lot of like people in the olden times would like, you know, associate people of color with certain stereotypes, like, oh, they have long hair, so like they are the people who are like witches, because that's what they understand witches to be, people with, I don't know, dead people with long hair, you know, and stuff like that. So we always try to like put down the unknown as being, you know, something that we have to be feared about. We have to be like, you know, distance ourselves from that and think about them as not being very close to or belonging to us. So there's like, yeah, I don't know what I'm trying to say here, but essentially it is this idea that how we treat people outside our belonging circle is very different, because we have dearth of knowledge about what they belong to and what they carry themselves in.
Which is kind of an interesting phenomenon in itself, in terms of what we're talking about today, body lore and the ways that we understand ourselves through those sort of mythologies of you know, what we wear in our bodies and how we build the house of ourselves, and that, you know, we need the other to reflect ourselves back to mm-hmm. us in order to really fully understand and appreciate who we are as humans, but that, yeah, that this idea of sort of individualism and collectivism, and, you know, not losing ourselves into just the Borg kind of, you know, is I think part of what we're talking about here, and this idea of body lore and just how complicated it really becomes to parse out, you know, where we can use it and use this idea of body lore to bring out the best in us, mm-hmm. really, versus you were talking, and it reminded me of this Oscar Wilde quote, and I'm not going to be able to tell you what the quote is exactly, but he was alluding to the idea that basically when we're not acting in our own soulful, personal, essential way, we're just doing what the other is doing. Mm-hmm. Right. And it is then very Borg-like, and that this idea of body lore can straddle both of those aspects, where we get caught up in, you know, wearing all the trends, and, you know, everybody's wearing the same clothes because that's what's trendy. And so, you know, you look out on the street, or you look around on the bus, and everybody's got exactly the same, they've got the same brand on, they've got the same outfit, right? Just like girls in the private school I went to,
exactly.
You know?
It's like everybody's in puffer jackets around me, and I'm like, wow, okay. We are in fall now. I mean,
yeah,
those things, those clothes are actually the indicators of things that we associate with, you know, fall, or, you know, young generation. So these are markers of the clothes being markers of these festivities and of these seasons and of certain brand and certain, you know, social status and so on and so forth.
Well, and as the quote that I read from the article, a sort of table manners, mm-hmm. as you know, it's sort of a set of table manners, right, that we all show up at this time of year in our puffer jackets, and mm-hmm. and we know that it's that time. So yeah, we've only got a couple of minutes left in the show today, and I'm wondering if you've got sort of thoughts about how you might carry this idea of body lore into the next little while. Are there things that have really sort of tweaked your imagination, mm-hmm. or piqued your curiosity about how you might play with body lore?
Yeah, I was thinking about a research paper that I wrote last year for one of my classes, and it was about this idea of seeingness, and it means about this idea of like gaze and surveillance happening online, but thinking about it in terms of like portrayal of women's body online, that you're supposed to like look certain way. You are not, even when we say, and there are like different movements like body positivity, hashtag body positivity, hashtag whatever, you know, and they post like pictures with scars and stuff. It is all a way of performativity. They are in actual sense, most of them are not in actual sense trying to open up this conversation. They are most likely trying to promote that sweatpants brand when they're like showing their scars. So it's more performative, and it has more like economic connections rather than, you know, doing good for the society. And I always say that because I always do the research in this area, is like technology is not neutral. And so the things that they do on those platforms is not neutral, simply put. And I see we just have like 35 seconds, so I'm just gonna do the outro. Thanks so much for tuning in and listening to our conversation, a great conversation that we had about the idea of body lore here at Intravenous. Do you want to say goodbyes?
Yeah, I've been one of your hosts, Robin. Thanks, Pranjali, for joining me. I will post up the audio and the the link to the introduction to this research paper so that you can follow up. And don't forget, Democracy Now! Is coming right up. Next week will be the STEM Women in STEM podcast. So see you in a few weeks. Thanks for listening.